Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We have a lot of ground to cover today. Let's begin. Love one another. The National Day of Prayer kicks off with a call for Americans to follow the Golden Rule. So today is the National Day of Prayer, and all over the country, people are gathering together to pray, even on Capitol Hill. Each year, leading up to the day, a group sets up in front of the Capitol, rain or shine, for a 90-hour Bible reading marathon. This year, around 400 people from around the country have participated, including a few lawmakers. Keith Davidson, founder of Seedline International, is leading this year's event. He tells CBN News volunteers are even there reading through the wee hours of the night. He said, we had a lady last night that was on standby from Alabama and flew in just to read, and she left back out at 6 a.m. this morning. So this annual tradition dates back to 1990. This year, they have over 100 Bible translations and versions to choose from, and they hope to add even more next year. Mr. Davidson said, we have a Farsi Bible, and folks can come by and read that in their language. We also have a Russian Bible, and we have a Chinese Bible that a group yesterday, a Chinese church actually here in Washington, D.C., brought out, continued Davidson. So the event concludes on the National Day of Prayer when a group gathers to read aloud the final chapter of Revelation. The theme for this year's National Day of Prayer is love one another. It's an appropriate theme, especially for this time, Congressman Mike Johnson, a Republican from Louisiana, told CBN. And if you were looking at the news today between the in Congress and seeing the debacle that's going on there, you would say, surely those people need a lot of prayer. So the question that we're going to ask today is, in this National Day of Prayer, in a house divided, in a nation divided, with schism and division running rampant within our society, will this moment of prayer stay the tide? Or will this be a time where the Elijah anointing would actually be scoffing at and mocking a nation that has allowed things to get so far? Now, I know that sounds a bit absurd, and I don't want to dive into that reality or that realm yet. But how many of you know there comes a time when God says, I will hear your prayers no more? Love one another, great advice from the Lord. I mean, that's not an advice. It's a commandment if you're born again. And, you know, that's pretty interesting. But what do we do about the 80 million babies that were slaughtered because of decisions coming out of Washington, D.C.? What do we do about the marriage between men with men and women with women decisions that came out of Washington, D.C.? What do we do with the crimes that have been committed? Do we just kind of turn to ourselves and say, hey, let's love one another. Let's be nice to one another. We're all Americans. We're all the same family. Is that really the conduct? Is that really the reality? I mean, that's what's being promoted within our society. But is that the reality of this moment is the question that we need to ask. You know, thank God there's a National Day of Prayer. I think when Barack Hussein Obama was the president, I don't even think they had a National Day of Prayer. I don't remember. But I know that there was not the same call and desperation as there is right now within our country. And so thank God people are praying. It's always good to pray. People would go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who were called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, right? So there's always that Old Testament scripture to stand upon, and it's always a good thing to pray. There's no doubt about it. The question is, will this day of prayer and the golden rule and loving one another, is that reality within our society? I mean, the golden rule today is love thyself. Love thyself, even at the expense of everybody else. That's the golden rule today. And love thyself more than love one another. Because you have to ask yourself, how hardened is the heart? How hardened is the heart within a nation that kills its own babies? Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about it. But before I go any further today, I'm going to share with you a prophecy that was written on September 3rd, 2001. I searched for this the other day because of the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I shared this a little bit a couple of days ago about how I woke up and just a mighty download of the Holy Spirit reminding me of this prophecy, which I did not have on hand a few days ago, but I woke up and I had this prophecy, and I remember the man that wrote this prophecy, and I was mulling that over, and then Patricia had talked about the West Coast from Seattle to San Francisco to Los Angeles, and I kind of said, well, wait, that's interesting. That's part of the prophecy I've been thinking about, which was written just days before the 9/11 event in 2001. So I want to read this prophecy to you. I give you my word that this is a message that came out on September 3rd, 2001. I have the name of the author, which I'm going to refrain for right now. And I just wanted you to hear the words that were spoken 8 days before 9/11 happened. And I want to remind you that on what I thought was I thought what my experience was on the 3rd of September, and that this was written on the 8th. But the fact of the matter, now that I have it before me, it was exactly the same day, September 3rd, that this prophecy was written, which was the exact same day that I was flying a United Airlines multi-million dollar flight simulator into the Twin Towers. I've told you that story. I won't go into that again. But on September 3rd, with Michael and Paul and John, who worked as a mechanic at the graveyard shift at United Airlines in Denver, we were flying multi-million dollar flight simulators because I had been speaking in Kremlin, Colorado at Bill and Marcia Burns Church up there. And we came down to Denver to see John. We went in the middle of the night to fly the simulators, and I took mine out of Newark. I flew over the Hudson River. I was in Central Park. I headed south. I saw the Twin Towers. I got bored, and I flew my plane into the Twin Towers. 8 days later, that image actually appeared in real time. But on the same day, September 3rd, while I was doing that, this prophecy was written, and I want you to hear it because I believe what God is saying is that this was only fulfilled, obviously, partially, in all of its context, partially. And I believe that the other side of this, the fulfillment of this prophecy, is now at the door. It's at the very threshold that the prophecy was nearly 18 years ago. So here it is. September 3rd, 2001. So says the Lord of the earth this day, the judgment that I have foretold of through my servants, the prophets, is at the doorstep. The devastation, the mourning, the death, and destruction is at hand. To the nations of the earth, I say, the day of my fierce anger is upon you. Behold what I do. I will begin on the coasts of your lands, the gateways to your nations, with cataclysmic events, the like of which has not been witnessed by this generation or any other. I am coming to the seats of power with a message of repentance the earth has never heard before. I will use these final days prior to my appearance to all to press out the wine from the grape, to gather the wheat from the earth and separate and burn off the tares with unquenchable fire. The beginning of the days of my final plea with mankind are at hand. The striving with the powerful and mighty who have thought higher of themselves than they should have is here. To the city of New York, I say, the madness of your city shall be revealed in a moment of time. The markets of self-adulation and self-exaltation are about to be shattered. Now, when I stop and think about the markets of self-adulation and self-exaltation, the Twin Towers were the great, you know, trading markets around the world were going on in there. And it says here that they're about to be shattered. I have sent messenger after messenger to warn you of these events, to call your people to repentance before I crush your markets with the fist of my mighty hand. And yet you go on as though there will be a day of recovery and restoration to the glory of your past. I tell you this day that what is past is past. What is to come is at the doorstep and about to come crashing through in a moment of time. One day you will be at ease. The next, people will be killing themselves and killing each other in response to the rock falling on the tables of your money changers. There's the Twin Towers, and turning them to powder. The cry will be deafening, but all that will be saved will be the souls of those who fall on their knees and repent before the Holy One of Israel. The fire will burn up all that is temporal and of this earth, but that which is eternal will survive. Take heed, New York. I will crush that lady that you have exalted above me and drown her before your very eyes. I will have no other gods before me, and you shall not make a graven image and worship it as God. My fury is greater than you can imagine, my righteousness and justice purer than you can fathom. You will encounter it when you meet the ones I send to dispense my judgments on you. All right, that was the word to New York. Then it went on to say, to the city of Washington, D.C., I say your might and power are about to be ripped from you like a home ripped off its foundation in a mighty wind. Your foundation is flawed. Your leaders are liars and thieves and lovers of power and recognition. Messengers of judgment have been sent and not heeded. Now I come with devastation and destruction. The principalities of darkness that have been kept in check will no longer be restrained and will begin to unveil the most subtle evils and darkness the world has ever known. Those who have not known me will not be able to resist it. It will make perfect sense to the carnal-minded fools that have stored up treasures here on earth and left their accounts in my kingdom empty and unattended to. The masses will flock to the deceptions like moths to a flame, only to be empty and or only to be burned and destroyed. To the president of this country, I say, you have fooled many with your unassuming charms and easygoing mannerisms, but I see your heart, and it is not toward my will. It is toward yourself and your legacy, not my kingdom. Your house is ordained for destruction unless you fall on your face before me and cry out as Abraham cried out in intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah. Your ideas are vanity. Your pride has ordained you for a fall, and I'm coming to bring it to you unless you repent. Your place and position cannot be saved. Your great city cannot be spared, but your soul can be saved as though by fire, so says the Holy One of Israel. To the leaders of the governments of this nation, I say, when most of you read this, it will have already happened. and the destruction and demolition of your seats of power and authority will be gone, and you will know that all those crazy men and women whom I sent to you were the sane ones, the ones who had indeed heard my voice and had carried the burden of the Lord to you. You will look upon these words and others and know that my heart was toward you and that it wasn't willing that any would perish, but you in your pride and arrogance could not receive instruction from these messengers. They didn't look right. They didn't sound right. They didn't go through the proper channels. You will mourn the day you scorned these, and you will know that I reached out to you many times before I brought my perfect justice and government to you and your people, so says the Lord of the earth. So that was the word to Washington, D.C. We heard what was said to New York City. Then it went on to say, to the city of Los Angeles, I say to your glamour and beauty are a ruse. I see right through the glitter and pomp of your appearance. You have housed the filth of the fornications of all generations within your walls and have turned your eyes to it as my daughters and sons have been ravaged by the purveyors of all the imaginable filth of this world's nakedness. You call yourself the city of angels, but your messengers have been the messengers of your father, the devil, the chief of fallen angels. You have spread your whoredoms on every shore of this earth, and I am coming to pull up your skirt and make you ashamed before the people of the earth. When I am done, the people of the earth will burn with a passion to see your destruction and a fervor to rid the earth of the plague that you have become to its people. You're doomed. I have spoken it, says the Lord of hosts. I call to those with ears to hear to flee the walls of this abominable place while there is yet time, for I will burn this place with unquenchable fire, so says the Lord of hosts. That was to Los Angeles. To the cities of Seattle and San Francisco, I say, you are as Sodom and Gomorrah before me, twin cities of lust, greed, perversion, and sorcery. I am about to rain down fire and brimstone on you, both in a way that has never been seen with human eyes. The abominations that have gone on behind the walls of your cities are the works of the most vile spirits the world has ever known, and yet you applaud these works with admiration and recognition. You will be left as ashes, as an act of mercy toward this world. For to allow your continued existence would be to allow a plague of unimaginable evil to continue unabated on the innocent of this earth. I have been long suffering towards you. I have sent you messengers time and time again who have foretold your doom, and you have mocked and scoffed and killed these messengers. Now I tell you, the day that was foretold of you is here. The doom of your end is upon you. To those who have ears to hear, I say, flee the walls of these places. I will guide you with my messengers if you will but heed the word of the Lord. If you do not, you will suffer the same fate that awaits those who have loved these cities and their abominations, so says the great I am. And then finally, this prophecy on September 3rd, 2001, concluded this way. To the people of this nation called America, I say, you have thought you were exempt from what is to come. You have seen these things in other places, but now they are coming to your shores. You don't have the leaders to guide you through these storms. You don't have the foundations necessary to bear the weight of the truth that is coming to you. Your shepherds have preached to you lies in my name, telling of an escape of the things that are come to this world. They have spoken of an inheritance that is never fought for, never paid for, never existed in my kingdom. Those who will rule and reign with me will be those who have overcome by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. They will be those who did not love their lives unto death. They will be those who forsook the delicacies of this world in order to gain the knowledge of me. To be an overcomer will require that you know me and die to the natural life of this world. Hate the evil that reigns here and no longer turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the weak and forsaken of this world. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. You must forsake this world and enter into my world, which is world of righteousness, joy, and peace in the most Holy Spirit. I am coming with a heavy hand against the shepherds that have led my sheep astray with half-truths and the doctrines of men. You have loved your denominations more than you have loved me. You have loved your salaries and accolades more than you have loved my truth. Your hearts have failed you for fear because you have not had the heart of the good shepherd. Your days of repentance will be sorrowful days. If indeed you do repent at all, many will flee to their father, the devil, and be exposed as the Antichrist they have truly been all along. This is what is to come to America. This is a glimpse, in part, to warn you and prepare you. Most of all, it is the word of the Lord that will bear witness against you when these things suddenly happen and you ask why they did. So says Jehovah, the creator of the whole earth, the Holy One of Israel. And that was the end of the prophecy. And 8 days later, New York and Washington experienced a foretaste of what I believe God is saying is about to happen again. The final blow, the knockout punch, a nuclear strike. Ladies and gentlemen, I truly believe with all of my heart, and I stand before the Lord with this, that this is the warning of the Lord. I was awakened this morning, and I began to read out of a scripture, and I just kind of had prayed and asked the Lord to guide me in the word today, not looking for anything particularly. And I opened up to this verse and chapter in the book of Amos, and I began in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again." And then I heard the Lord say this in Amos chapter 9, verse 1. "I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, Smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake. Cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set my eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Lord God of hosts is he that touches the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn. And it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that builds his stories in the heaven and has found his troop in the earth. He that calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the face of the earth, the Lord is his name." And then in verse 8 of Amos chapter 9, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us." So we continue to march down this particular path almost daily from one direction or another, in spite of all the soothsaying that's going on in the world today, in spite of all the propaganda, in spite of all of the deceptive things that are being told and said. It is an unending witness from the throne of heaven, coming from so many different people, vessels, of the day of accountability for our country. And the way the Holy Spirit has arranged this was to bring back this message. I mean, it was amazing just to find it, you know, after 18 years. And the messenger, by the way, was hung out to dry. They wanted to slander, strike, and kill the messenger. I've learned a long time ago that sometimes the messengers are in preparation. They're working out their salvation. There's probably flaws in every messenger that's ever been existed on the face of this earth. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. However, not a sinful person. I don't believe that somebody that's practicing sin has a right to minister, even though God could speak through a donkey. But this particular messenger was resisted by, and at large, the Christian community. And yet he wrote something that within 8 days began to be fulfilled. And then we've seen the storms bash upon our nation for the last 18 years. And we're approaching that 666, 18, three times 618. We're, this September, we're going to be there again. And I'm not saying we're waiting till September for anything. I'm saying that right now, this prophecy that was written began at the same time I was flying airplanes into the Twin Towers. It began, but it was just a preview. And the backside of this is now here. And everywhere we turn, in our particular community, on radio, we're listening to so many different people. And there's this war of words, you know, peace and safety, make America great again. You know, Donald Trump is going to save America. I don't believe he was sent here to save America. I believe he is a battering ram, a bulwark, a battle axe to bring down the evil that has been in this nation. And that means it's going to collapse. And this is the work of God. And the hope of every Christian should not be in America, but the kingdom of God. The desire of every born-again spirit should be the kingdom. The kingdom. Not American capitalism, democracy, a republic, or any other kind of ism. To the Christian heart and mind, it's always the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So today I just lay that forth and let you judge it. Every time we turn, there's that voice. And sometimes it becomes a bit menacing. You know, to hear the same report over and over and over and over. But if you're in another camp, if you're in the feel-good camp, tickle-my-ears camp, you hear over and over and over about all these prophecies of everybody's going to be rich and wealthy and get all the goods of the world, and who cares about the 80 million dead babies and the shedding of innocent blood and homosexual marriages? Just tolerate that, because if you go against it, you're going to get warfare. So better to tolerate it so you can get your stuff and enjoy your best life now. I didn't know that's what the witness of the church was all about. I don't think it is. I don't think there's anything wrong with being blessed by God. There's no doubt about that. But when it comes at the expense of being silent in the face of the evils that are being perpetrated in the land, there's cause for concern. And all the prophets of old have had to struggle with societies that had turned away and forsaken the Lord and had been mind controlled and have had their minds bent towards the propaganda of their day with the false prophets and the priests and the pastors and the patriots and the politicians. When the voice that came was contrary, these prophets had to contend with getting their minds right. I mean, Elijah goes to a nation that's under the spell of Jezebel and has to perform a mighty miracle just to get their attention and then slay the 800 and so prophets of Jezebel and of Baal and all that stuff. So having said these things, I want to say good morning to my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. Hello, darling. How are you today?
You know, I am doing very well and very interested in what was just spoken of in that prophetic word you had. Is that a view?
No, that was from a gentleman on September 3rd that wrote this letter. And I remember taking this prophecy into KPRZ, K-Praise in La Jolla, because I was on radio in La Jolla at this time.
Oh, my goodness, that was so long
and
ago.
And I was trying to tell these guys, hey, look, this was you're wanting to know what just happened as everybody's watching the television screens of the Twin Towers falling. I said, look, well, even that Christian radio station didn't want to hear a prophecy about the guy wrote it 8 days earlier.
They've never wanted to hear what was coming because they couldn't fathom such things and still can't.
Yeah.
In spite of everything they see and watch. But there's one thing I am so grateful for, and we discussed it this morning And that is our citizenship is in heaven and not on this earth. And I want to zero in on that, because what we hear coming upon the earth in government and in the other nations and kingdoms of this world, we have to understand what kingdom we're really in and how we are to be in a time such as this. And a citizen is a person who legally belongs to a country and has the rights and protection of that country, right? So we have the rights and protection of heaven, hallelujah, in the midst of the turmoil. And citizens adopt the culture and practices of the nation or kingdom to which they belong. So we are adopting the culture of the heavenlies and the practices of the heavenly realm in their courtrooms. And every human being is born into the kingdom of this world in which Satan rules. So we grow up adopting the culture, we grow up adopting the practices and values that is instigated by the enemy. And truthfully, this is our real battle. We have been born into a sin-sick world, has happened since the fall. It's nothing new, but it is accumulating greater and more demonic darkness. And so our citizenship in heaven, I want to discuss it.
Well, amen. And Patricia, it's going to be vital to understand that the Israeli people that were taken out of Egypt were brought into the wilderness by God, where he became their source for every single thing they needed to survive for 40 years. And he gave water out of a rock. He gave food from heaven, manna from heaven. I mean, the Lord took care of his people because he's a real God. And sometimes, you know, we're coming into this moment, and the prevailing thought right now in the world order that's growing up around us, and there's going to be some devastating things to collapse things that are in the way of that new world satanic order. And the idea is to bring forth this time of not being able to buy or sell, to not be able to get to your bank, to not be able to get gas in your car, to not be able to go to an ATM or a grocery store, to buy anything in the new world order system. And I would challenge somebody today, get all your stuff out of a bank, get rid of, you know, your license, your driver's license, and then see how you would live. See how you would do in the world with your cash, if you have cash. And people are not realizing how difficult this is going to be, particularly for those who are not preparing in the wilderness, so to speak, that God has led them to, how to get through these things.
Well, we have been imprisoned by the so-called legalities of the nation. They've changed quite a bit. So we have been imprisoned, and we have then become slowly covered into darkness, not realizing how absolutely dominant the government has become. And we slipped in without awareness, and Satan's kingdom enslaves its citizens. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing an enslavement. And I know I was grown up in an area and time in which that wasn't so. But with the darkened hearts and minds, we blindly follow our leader into the very sins that pull us deeper into slavery. And we remain captives in this kingdom of sin, headed for destruction, until Jesus frees us. And he has. We know he has. The thing is, do we know it? And we have been slowly brought into a dark place. And you know that the word is clear. Judgment starts in the house of God. So we are the ones that have to look within and see what our responsibility has lacked and become a true citizen of the kingdom of heaven and not the kingdom of this world.
Amen. Amen. Patricia, here is a message that was given by a gentleman, and his name is Jeff. And Jeff has written out something here I thought was pretty profound. Let's read it just a little bit. Here is a prophetic. This is what I would say, this person said, so I asked the Lord if there was something specific that he would like to speak directly to his people about, and this is what the Lord said. My children, you are coming to the end of a warning cycle that I have made in the heavens for all to see. Most have ignored it or misinterpreted it. Keep in mind, I am the only one who can make these signs. I have created and set forth the paths of all of my heavenly bodies. I hold them in my hand and they obey me. Speaking of the sun, moon, and stars. I am the only one that knows in totality what these signs mean, but I will give you a glimpse of their meaning because you have sought me first before anything else. This sign is significant no matter what man says or thinks because I am the one who has made it. There has been much confusion about these blood moon eclipses because man has made false assumptions about them and focused on parts instead of looking at the whole picture that I've created. This led to much confusion and many have stopped watching my sign. I have used this as yet another way to separate those who are my true children, who are watching for my return and love me with all their heart, from those who only seek me for their own gain and to ease their guilty conscience with false religion. The sign that I have given started on December 21st, 2010 on your calendar, and it will be completed January 21st, 2019 on your calendar at 12:12 a.m. The time of its ending significant. This number means total completeness, and that's when the blood red wolf moon came out, by the way, to total completeness of the warning. And so let me just get down here just a little bit. The warning time that I have given before the greater judgments begin, earthquakes, the fiery kickoff event, economic collapse, famine, disease, and then the great war begins. This warning alone has lasted 8 years and 1 month. Some would like more time, but what would be done with more time if I gave it? I have been warning the world through my servants, the prophets, for over 100 years that you are in the last days. There are very few hearing my warnings right now. My chosen few have had plenty of my warning, and they grow weary of them. Let it not be said that I am not merciful and long-suffering. The time of the end of the age has truly come. My little flock, I also want to tell you about the super blood wolf moon eclipse, which will happen soon. First, and he goes on into this conversation here, and then he talks about the persecution. My children, be ready. As I have said before, there is no more time. All of this end time signs, including the sign of the woman in the heavens, have significance. So here's a man that has been before the Lord. He looked at all of the prophetic signs in the heavens and has, you know, kept God's people awake to the reality. How could we ever forget all those blood red moons, solar eclipses, constellations in the heaven? And again, it's just a warning that we are at the door. Patricia, it's growing all around us.
Well, honey, those who do not know Christ live only for this world and the pleasure they can find for themselves. They just don't know. And they are citizens of this world and live by its rules and its value system. But we're born again by faith in Jesus Christ, and we are born into the kingdom of heaven. And this is imperative for those who are listening to know. And speaking of those who have had the spiritual rebirth, in Philippians 3, it says this clearly: our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly, please listen, we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus spent much of his earthly ministry explaining the kingdom of heaven. He compared it to many things, including a wheat field in which weeds grew along with the wheat. The plants appeared identical at first, but were separated at the harvest. This is the truth. And often when we're citizens of heaven, those of this world are not understanding the things that we do. And no one but God knows what will be soon, very soon, within the body of Christ. And many people may appear to be citizens of heaven when in fact no rebirth has ever taken place in their hearts. So my cry is, be sure you're born again. How do you know if you're born again?
Well, amen to that. By the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and there's always a witness and a testimony. The people on the west coast of the United States of America who survive the coming calamity are going to be fleeing to the east. They're going to be leaving. They're going to be going on a long journey through deserts, and it's going to be an incredible time in the history of the United States as these refugees will be fleeing. And because of the events that are coming upon our nation, America will be known as a land of refugees, and they will be traversing this nation from sea to shining sea. And it is going to be a very difficult time. So make sure that you are continually in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. You're going to hear about these events. You're going to see these events. They're going to be talked about on whatever news channels are available. It's at the door. The major events that have been prophesied for years are now at the door. Just like 8 days before 9/11, this prophecy that I shared with you came to pass, and all the mockers and scoffers that raised their eyebrows could not deny that that prophecy began. And we're just hearing now by the Holy Spirit the other side of this. It's going to be fulfilled, and there's much to be said about the West Coast. Patricia, I have to believe this is at the door.
Wow. You're saying it's going to be have to fulfill.
It has to be, yeah.
Are you saying then that those that are on the West Coast are going to start coming out from the areas of California, Oregon, Washington, and coming over those mountains and going through the deserts to get to where? The East Coast?
When the calamity hits, the people that were not sensitive to the Holy Spirit because they thought, oh, I've heard this before, whatever the cause is, those who are listening to the Holy Spirit to come out, to get away from the coast, because that's where the judgment's going to come from both sides. It's going to press into the middle. And the people that refuse to leave, that are enjoying the lap of luxury, so to speak, on the West Coast, when the calamities hit, they will be fleeing those coastal cities, and they're going to have to head to the east. They're going to be heading east. They're not going to be going north, and they're not going to be heading south. There's problems on our southern border right now. They're going to be leaving the coast, heading towards the east, and they're going to go through a lot of stuff, and there's going to be a lot of different events of crime and violence and all kinds of checkpoints, and some will have stuff, others will have nothing. It's going to be a time of hunger, and the prophecies that God has sent over and over and over and over again are now going to be fulfilled, and you and I need to be where God has called us to be. He asked us to leave 10 years ago. This October will be 10 years we've been gone, to be in a place and in an ark. And thank God we're only temporary citizens here on planet Earth, that we're not going to have to be in Arkansas for the rest of our eternity. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm sure Noah was happy when after a year he got out of his boat, right?
Amen to that. It's concerning to me when I think about that kind of traveling. I don't know if it could be done. If they're not equipped properly to go across those deserts. I mean, we drove through them time and time again, and they're pretty serious deserts. The only thing I can think of right now is if they make a choice to go through the southern area from California in the south of San Diego area and then go through El Central, but they're still going to have to go through desert, and they're going to end up in Arizona. And then they're going to have to go on from there through mountain area. I don't know how in the world they're going to be able to do this.
Patricia, there's another prophecy that's come out here. The time of Satan's wrath is upon you, and he goes about ever more frantically because he knows his time is short. Nothing shall be turned back now, but shall speed up and become more intense. And this shall be the way it shall go until the end of the age. The calamities and the fiery false flag events shall kick off soon. Many events shall take place, getting successively more destructive. Rejoice that the time has been cut short for the sake of my children. This time of relative peace shall end suddenly, and in a moment, the world as you know it will cease to exist. Once this happens, the seals will open like a string of lit firecrackers, and the scroll shall be fully unrolled. America, the immigrants are being sent to you as a test and as a distraction. How will you treat the innocent ones? Will you show them mercy, grace, and love as I have shown you? Will you give food to the hungry and shelter to protect them from the elements? Yes, there are those mixed in that would cause harm and destruction, but that will be lessened if you do as I would do to the least of these. As you do unto them, you do unto me. As you are distracted by the immigrants, secret plans are being finalized that will ensure the destruction of Babylon the Great, America. Wow. And this prophecy continues on. And it's just everywhere we're turning right now. It's not as though the Lord is saying, you know, it's okay. You know, it's relatively at ease. Just take it easy. It is a, it's like a finalizing, a finishing up. It's here now. It's like the door has got to shut in Noah's Ark.
Well, under these circumstances, you know, and only God really knows.
Only God knows.
And we have to make that statement clear.
Correct.
But if I were to believe that the Lord is coming soon, which I believe he is, I would want to be born again. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be in any other way except a citizen of heaven. And when God grants this citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, we're going to become new creatures. We do become new creatures. We're not the same. And if this affliction and infirmity that I'm hearing about is as soon as we think it is, I am asking you, if you have not bore fruits, we shall be known by our fruits. If you have not borne fruits that you shall be known of, that means you're not born again. I am asking you to reconsider your situation and where you stand. Ye must be born again to be able to become a citizen of heaven. He sends his Holy Spirit to indwell our spirits and our bodies, and then we become his temple. And that's a safe place to be, his temple, because in his temple, you are being taken care of. And the Holy Spirit begins to transform our sinful ways and our worldly desires into those that glorify God. And in this time, I would want to glorify God as never before. And his goal is to make us as much like himself as people that as possible in this life. And so Jesus was able to walk right through the crowd and nobody saw him. There were no checkpoints for him. He just went right through because he was transformed into the image of the glory of our Heavenly Father. Therefore, be transformed into his image. Be protected. This is a cry from my heart.
Patricia, when you talk about being transformed in the sense of godliness, we also know that Satan transforms himself into ministers of light, right?
Yes.
So listen to this part of the prophecy. America, your political solutions to your spiritual problems will not delay your judgment. And in truth, either way that you vote, you will be punished. One way will be quicker and one way will be more severe. Your current king was brought into office, speaking of Donald Trump, to begin your judgment, but your former king shall return as the events proceed and finish it. He will oversee your destruction and then move on to his role as the leader of the 10 kings. Barack Hussein Obama will be the flesh and blood manifestation of Satan on the earth, just as I was the flesh and blood manifestation of my father, the Most High God. El Elyon, Yehovah, Obama shall be fully possessed by Satan after the kickoff. My children, America, you shall suffer persecution by his hand. And then it goes on, those who are not close to me but call themselves Christians shall be persecuted the worst. Those who have kept themselves in intimate relationship and stayed holy before me shall suffer the least. So here in this thing, and it talks about the transformation, my remnant bride will be given an extra anointing during this time, even before the transformation. Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Barack Obama is the Antichrist, if that is true, and we really don't know, but we are watching carefully.
We know he is a Antichrist by his actions.
Know. And we also know his name means that. Can you explain that just for a moment?
Well, I can't explain. There's somebody that wrote about, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That means I saw Barack Obama as Satan when you put it all together.
But why? Because his name.
His name means Barack is, I forget all the terminology. Most of the listeners have heard this before.
Barak's name means lightning or something to that effect.
The actual phrase in Luke, in the Aramaic and in Latin and in Greek, when you put this all together, I saw Barack Obama as Satan.
Yeah. Okay. There you are. So that's a possibility there of him being the one, but there are other possibilities, and we know about that. But we have been given the power, if we are born again, and if the Holy Spirit is within us through a true born-again experience, and we shall be known by our fruits, we are given the power and privilege of existing and turning away and exiting from this world's flawed value system and living for eternity. And we have to be adopted into the family of God. And that means that we become citizens of an eternal kingdom where our Father is the King. And our focus turns toward eternal things and storing up treasure in heaven. And we consider ourselves ambassadors of this earth until our Father sends for us and we go home. So consider yourself an ambassador. If you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, don't consider those in the government right now, in this nation or any other nation on this earth, as the true ambassadors. They're not. You and I are the true ambassadors of God. If we are born again and filled with His Holy Spirit, we will be empowered to escape these things.
Patricia, while you're talking, I'm thinking about Acts chapter 27, when Paul is in the storm of Euroclydon. He's a prisoner on the ship, and the masters of the ship are steering that ship into the stormy waters, and yet he winds up becoming the master of that ship, and all the people get born again and saved. And so while the shipmasters of America, the leaders of a nation, have steered this nation into the stormy waters of Euroclydon, there's no doubt it's going to be broken to pieces. If you want the real picture of what's happening right now, read Acts chapter 27 and read it to its conclusion, and just keep seeing America as the ship that the Apostle Paul was on. And so we take refuge in the fact that the apostolic anointing, that chosen vessel, the Apostle Paul, that spirit is in the ship that will have the wisdom of God during this time. It will not come from government leadership, like Patricia just said. And I'm going to just kind of go back to the prophecy of 2001 that was written by this gentleman who brought it out 8 days before it was fulfilled. We're being visited again with the fullness of this 2001 prophecy. It's here.
And again, it is being told that we must become serious about our walk in Christ. And those of us that are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not, I pray you are. But if those are not, I'm asking you, please, please, to reconsider to do so. You hear what's coming upon the earth.
Amen. We've said a lot today. We've got a few more minutes in the broadcast. We want to open up the telephone lines today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And if you have any questions or comments or things you'd like to share, you're welcome to do so. Again, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. We have a first call coming in this morning. Area code 479-855. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, pastors.
Good morning.
You bring a very interesting word this morning. And
yeah, really,
you know, The interesting point that most people overlook is that the true Christians will listen and hear at the prayer. But what happens is so many people sit by the sidelines and say,
Pastor Ken, forgive my interruption, sir, but you have a really bad connection. Is it possible for you to hang up and call in again? We got a lot of feedback on that call. Were you hearing the same thing?
I am, but he may be moving around and about. Are you doing so?
I'm sitting in a chair. I'll call back.
Please call back. Thank
you. All right, we're going to wait for that call. That's Pastor Ken Wagner is calling in to share a comment with us. Again, the number to call, 818-369-0326. And then press 1 on your dial pad. We will bring you right into the broadcast. Hopefully, Pastor Ken will be calling in here in just a moment. You know, Patricia, what I love about what we're doing right now is just to hear the voice of many waters, to hear God's people really speak into this. We have another call coming in, area code 479-586. We'll take this call. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Well, good morning. I know
this
that voice.
Yes, you do. Hey, I was thinking about Acts 27, which is really dear to my heart, and I really believe, too, that it is a timely prophetic word. But I wanted to point out to you that what happened, what the Apostle Paul, at the beginning of that trip, he was like the tail of the whole trip. He was in chains. Nobody was listening to him. But through the storm, God raised him up, and the captains of the ship and the people started to listen to the Apostle Paul because he had the wisdom. So when he began the trip, he was the tail, but in the middle and at the end, he became the head. And that's what I believe is going to happen with us, that we may seem to be like the tail, but we're going to become the head through this storm. Amen?
Amen. Brother Michael, let me ask you, I want to do this on the air, and I don't want you and I had no idea you were going to call in today. You were with me in September of 2001 on an airplane in Denver. Could you speak into that and just kind of bear witness to what I'm saying is the truth?
Oh, yeah. You and I were in that flight simulator. We're taking off from JFK. You were the pilot. And we were heading out, and on the screen started coming the World Trade Center. And you were heading straight for it. And I said in the background, I said, see if we could thread it. But what you did, you went right through the World Trade Center, and we crashed into Central Park. But then days later came that airstrike, and we all in an amazement and wonderment that God was saying, speaking to us about a disaster that was going to come down later on down the road. And that was amazing, Pastor Vincent.
Yeah, it certainly was. Mike, thanks for bearing witness. We'll talk more about that. We actually flew out of Newark, and we did fly into that. Let's take Pastor Ken back on the air here just for a moment. Pastor Ken, can you hear us, and are you hearable?
I'm going to find out. How's it sound now?
Perfect.
Any better?
You sound perfect. Go ahead and share your thoughts.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, the word that you're giving this morning is an eye-opening word, and the problem seems to come about with so many people that they hear this word and they say, well, I don't know if it's true or not. And that has gone on for ages. And people recognize a true prophet after, many times, after it has happened. And if it does go that way with people and they think that way, it's too late. What we need to do is recognize within ourselves, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to awaken us to those words and to these warnings that are being spoken. And if we wait too long, we're going to have to go through it because we never prepared ourselves for what is about to happen. So what I say is, in a case like this, what harm is there in preparing? There's no harm. There's only greater good. The closer and closer we come to our Lord, to know Him more and more by His Spirit, we can only accomplish greater and greater things. And these catastrophic events that are forthcoming, we know they're forthcoming, we will at least be prepared in some kind of a measure according to how much we want to go ahead and do. But we will be able to succeed. We will be able to overcome. We will be a light. We'll be able to go ahead and help others, not only ourselves, in this time of dire need that is forthcoming. So I tell people, get ready. Get yourself ready and know what God has in store for you and how you can prepare to weather the storm that is coming.
Well said. Well said. Pastor Ken, when you were speaking, this scripture came to my mind, and I believe we need to be so prepared right now, and I know that's what you're speaking of, and it says, watch ye therefore. This is in Luke 21, one of my favorite scriptures because it's explainable, but it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And I believe with all my heart that this is what is important for us right now. Would you agree to that?
What I am concerned about in this particular scenario is that people are going to say, well, I'll wait to see what's going to happen. And the problem is it's too late. Even that very scripture that you said, it's a sign of preparation, getting ready for what is about to happen. Because we know the word is true, and it has spoken these very things. Both of you have spoken forth with the things that are forthcoming. Now, are you going to be able to ready to be able to handle what is coming? And the only way that we can do it is through prayer, through supplication, through preparation, preparing our souls, getting rid of all the issues that we have within ourselves so that we can be a light to be able to help others, because that's our call.
It's all right, Pastor Ken. Yes, sir. We have just run out of time. We've got to say goodbye to everybody. We apologize we couldn't take all the calls. Remember, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Keep your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Get over to omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion going on right now. I'm Vincent Xavier. I've been joined today with my beloved wife, Patricia. We'll see you tomorrow right here on this Blog Talk Radio. God bless everybody. Shalom. Right now, roundtable discussion. And then our dear friends will be following on the air with very powerful messages. God bless.